Hi, this is Joe Francica, editor of Directions Magazine. We're here talking today with Rob Shanks, president of Globe Explorer. We're going to explore the topic of web services and pricing models and kind of the buzz surrounding the pickup of web services and how they're being used and what types of imagery products are available out there and what are most demanded. So, Rob, thanks for joining us today on the podcast. And let me start off by asking, you know, you're one of the first companies out there offering web services in aerial and satellite imagery. Can you provide some background examples of how some of the customers, especially in the real estate end like Zillow or CoStar, are using and maybe charging for their services?
Well, sure. I think there's a couple of models out there. One is the, you know, the model that the first company that you mentioned uses, which is Zillow. There's also been a recent company, Reply.com, which has a similar model where they're using advertising revenue to bring applications and research to the end users. So they're places where buyers can meet sellers and sellers can meet agents, et cetera. But they're using an advertising revenue model, internet-based, of course, to drive the creation and payment of the applications. The second model would be where companies are actually charging for highly specialized, high-value applications that are created from a variety of web services that are aggregated together. So companies like CoStar, for instance, build their own application that commercial agents subscribe to. It has very high-value data in it, tabular information, map and spatial information, and other business data, which is all aggregated together in a terrific portal for commercial buyers and sellers and agents, et cetera. I think so there's really two models, sort of the internal business and the external, consumer.
All right. Obviously, all of these companies that are using Globe Explorer as a web service see the value in imagery. Are you doing any value-added services that would make imagery not a commodity, or how is it being offered by you that is different from maybe other web services that you could see sprouting?
Right. Good question, and something that we're really well entrenched in already. What we do, since imagery is inherently a raster, a bitmap, it often lacks intelligence other than what the end user perceives as information in the image. What we do is in our web services and our APIs, we wrap information with the imagery content. For instance, parcel data and address points are actually wrapped together with the imagery so that buildings and different places in the imagery are actually clickable and can bring up business information tied to that location. So, for instance, if a company subscribes to our web services, they get an image map. Every company has their own business data, whether it's insurance information, real estate information, environmental or scientific information. They can take their business information, which almost always has location in it. There's an address, a zip code, et cetera. Then can on the fly map that information to the imagery through this index called the parcel data, and on the fly other information pops up as end users click on the map. So we're making our images what we call smart images by having that indexing system throughout the web services. We also add a number of different real estate databases to our imagery on our side, as well as, I mentioned, address points, which drive the user to the specific location of a property rather than somewhere near it or out in the street, as with most street centerline maps. We also have other information like flood, et cetera. We've got about 30 nationwide layers that are all part of our web services already.
So are users licensing parts of the data services that you offer, or is it bundled? In other words, you mentioned flood, together with imagery. Are those different licenses? If somebody wanted to take a variety of those different web services?
Yeah, it's really an a la carte menu that we offer. And so each user or each customer is different and has different needs. Some of them have their own data, some of them don't, or some of them have some of their own and need some from us. And so we always, you know, allow the customer to pick and choose what they'd like. And in terms of the pricing, you know, we make that very simple so that layers are all bundled into categories that, you know, create a very easy buying decision.
So how do you think it's gone in terms of offering web services? I mean, typically in the past, you've had a couple of different models that people could choose from. Either you could, you know, buy an image. Or again, what we're talking about here is a web service. So do you have any feeling for, you know, how many are holding data locally on their own machine or on a LAN versus, you know, a hosted web service?
Well, it seems more and more that companies are pushing their data out through web services, whether it's, you know, internal use or if it's a service that's paid for, you know, and you've got to log in to use it, or whether it's just displayed to, you know, consumers and for free to end users. There's an awful lot of web services, a lot of business data being linked to all these applications, and spatial data is just one piece in the business workflow. It's a very important visualization and information layer, both in many, many businesses. And we're seeing models where, you know, people or customers pay, you know, businesses will pay us on a metered basis. So every single image that's rendered is paid for at a certain rate. We also have users who have unlimited access accounts with us. So, you know, there are various pricing models and various usages, but more and more we're seeing all the data being aggregated out on the Internet.
Right. So when somebody comes to you, is there anything that you caution them or coach them on in terms of what they need to do before deciding on a provider of web services? Are there certain issues that they may need to deal with before, you know, getting into a web service?
Yeah, I mean, that's another good question. We try to be very careful with you know, businesses and customers who come to us and want to build a system for their business. At Globe Explorer, we're platform agnostic, so we support, you know, all the various web services and mapping platforms out there. We have a very strong relationship with Dicarta and their mapping platform, but we also have, you know, relationship with companies like PlaySpace, and of course we create adapters and plugins to all the popular platforms, including, you know, Google's Map platform, the Yahoo Maps platform, Microsoft Virtual Earth platform. The decision to choose one of those platforms as your base is the first decision that will drive, you know, the data is the next decision. What data do you want in that system? And so it's really, we've had a, you know, many years of experience with what each of these different systems is capable of. And we'll try to make recommendations based on what the customer is trying to do, you know, with their application. And then, of course, we always offer the best, in our opinion, the best spatial data out there to insert into that application or platform.
Do you see any movement of any one platform over another? I know you've got arrangements with ESRI and the ARC Web Services Explorer platform, National Geographic Map Machine. Is there, do you see any uptake in the types of services or the types of customers that are using those platforms? Obviously, ARC Explorer isn't quite out yet, but maybe some of the other platforms?
Yeah, I mean, each of these platforms I mentioned, and Dicarta particularly, is well out in front, along with ESRI, in providing, you know, these platforms and developer toolkits to Fortune 1000 customers, and really broad market now is you know, they're tremendous resellers for us, they're tremendous integrators for us, but at the same time we support all the other platforms. I mean, we have you know, very automated connectors, so you know, if you want to choose the Microsoft Virtual Earth platform, for instance, you can get high-speed tiled imagery from Globe Explorer, the latest and greatest imagery for, you know, for anywhere you go. You can get all our parcel information inside those platforms. It all works in any platform, and so we maintain, you know, being platform agnostic, while at the same time, you know, we have preferred vendors for particular applications.
Right. You know, it seems like we're at the real early stages of web services, but not just that, but in kind of the explosion of seeing satellite and aerial imagery as being real value add. We touched on it briefly before, but, you know, if you had to look into the crystal ball, are there any new uses of imagery that maybe were not viable before the advent of web services?
Well, what wasn't viable before web service was just the immediate access to the information itself. I mean, there's always been a tremendous amount of information available. It's always been how fast or how expensive has it been to get it. And web services and the internet itself have created, you know, this model of instant gratification, and at the same time, it's you know, the expectations are very high that no matter where you go, you'll have perfect information, which is not true. And you know, it's always the correct information, which is also not true. I think we all have to remember that, you know, information and its value lies in the eye of the beholder, and, you know, everybody needs to make their own judgment as to how much they trust that information. But you know, what the web services themselves have improved the speed, and now since it's become part of mainstream business, it's improved the quality and the resolution and the how often things are updated, because there's so much more business that's driving the production of the content itself.
Yeah, that's a really good point. One of the things that you know, you came out with recently was you acquired a great deal of information from AirPhoto USA, one-foot resolution images, and, you know, I'm just kind of curious, you know, since, you know, like you say, there isn't an access to this information, but it's pretty darn high-resolution stuff. You know, do you think that there are any specific markets that are really going to need that high level of accuracy, and what that might be? And like you said, there, you know, there is this instant demand, but and maybe as they see more of this type of data, maybe not used to seeing aerial imagery or satellite imagery before, but man, the closer and closer you get and the higher resolution, they seem to want more. So you want to comment on what the true prime markets are for the high accuracy imagery?
Sure, and I don't know which question we get first when we show, you know, the services to new customers. Gosh, can we have higher, you know, can we see more detail, or do you have something newer? I think date and resolution, you know, run neck and neck with you know, what's most important to every customer we run into. But who resolution and date matters most to? It seems like everybody now. Certainly the real estate markets, but as we get into the financial markets and insurance markets, we're seeing the need when you're an assessor or a planner or someone who's doing valuation. You know, you've got this tool inside your existing business tool now, and it's got spatial data where you can actually evaluate a property remotely and link all of your tabular data to it while you're doing your analysis. And it's very powerful information, and no matter which customer it is, date and resolution, you know, come up, and everybody wants more resolution and, you know, higher repeat times. And the markets that are driving that are really, you know, where the Fortune 1000 customers are, and that is real estate, insurance, you know, engineering and you know, construction, developers and builders. I mean, that's really where it's happening right now.
Rob, we had shared with you a survey that we conducted in July, our annual GIS survey, and we had a particular two particular questions on web services that I know that you had a chance to review. What did you think of those results?
Well, Joe, there were two particular questions that really rang home with us at Globe Explorer. The first one was a question that had to do with which web services folks had tried during the last 12 months, and I found it very interesting that the Glow Explorer actually finished ahead of MapQuest in that poll and was at the front of all the web services that were being tried and used over the last 12 months. And in addition to being sort of in a top leading position there, we our services are also delivered in four of the top five platforms that are also recorded in that survey. So that was interesting and good to read and hear about in your survey. The second very interesting results came from a question that had to do with which satellite imagery and aerial photography vendors had you used during the last year. And the Globe Explorer AirPhoto combined results were nearly tied for first with Digital Globe. We had 130 respondents in our area, and Digital Globe had about 150. So we're nearly tied for first on the commercial vendor side, and there wasn't even a close second. And so between the web services that people are using and the content that people are using in those web services, we were at or right next to the top in both two of the most important categories to us, and we were grateful to see those results, and I think it shows that we're making good progress.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. You know, one of the things that came, you know, kind of hit me differently was people launching microsatellites for a very specific purpose. Do you see that? You know, do you see this evolving? Do you see it for a particular industry, and how might Globe Explorer, you know, get into that business?
Well, this is something that's obviously near and dear since we purchased AirPhoto USA just almost 1 year ago exactly. We have become very heavily involved in the production of, you know, a high-resolution database for the entire United States as well as in Europe. I can't give particulars to how we're doing it, but I will say that we are very heavily involved in what you would call microsatellite business, where we are very quickly leaving the traditional aerial platform and moving to systems that can collect at incredibly high speeds in all digital formats, and really are looking to change the business of base map production on the imagery side forever. Right now, it's still, you know, data sets are scattered through different vendors, and aggregating them is something that Globe Explorer has become very good at. But ultimately, you know, we will produce and control a very high-resolution, up-to-date base map of the entire U.S. and major portions of Europe and international areas. And it will be done and is beginning to be done in sort of a microsatellite format, and we'll be announcing lots more about that in the coming months.
Wow, that's really interesting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Well, I'm going to leave that for our listeners to chew on a bit, because that's an interesting topic that maybe we can explore further, and hopefully they'll give us more information as that comes to fruition. So thanks very much for your time, Rob. This has been a great conversation, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future. Thanks for joining us today for another Directions Media podcast, and be sure to tell a friend. Join us online at www.directionsmedia.net.